Put it here, argument in Young and Malberg versus Dover Historical. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Morning, Mr. Manning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I am William Manning of the firm of Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. I represent the appellants, Young and Malmberg and Yozima, LLC. With me at counsel table is my partner, Richard Forston. Your Honor, we raise three claims implicating two different standards of review. One is a claim of legal error as to which your review is plenary. The two others, in those two others, we claim that the trial court erred in matters committed to its discretion, and for that reason, we must demonstrate that there was an abuse of discretion. As it happens, if we persuade the court with respect to our first claim, that the court below committed plain error. Then,
is it plain error or legal error?
Legal error, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Then much of the rest of the case is swept away, and for that reason I will address that point first. And that point is that the trial court misapplied or ignored the doctrine of res judicata in awarding the fees that it did. Let me briefly run through the chronology in this case because it's important to this particular point. We have a round one and a round two. Round one commenced when the Dover Planning Commission gave approvals for a development project. That project included the partial demolition of some buildings that the Dover Historical Society, now the Friends of Old Dover, cared about. And for that reason, in June of 2003, the first action was commenced, and I've referred to this in the briefs as the 2003 action. It's the first action. That action ended when the Superior Court, and this is after an interlude where the Superior Court made a judgment about standing, and you all reversed that. Finally, the Superior Court remanded the matter back to the Dover Planning Commission. In other words, the plaintiffs, the Friends of Old Dover, prevailed. That was the end of action, of the 03 action, the end of round one, and that's June of 04. I apologize, July of 04. And not only do I say that was the end of round one, the court, in a decision rendered in June of 05, referred to its July 04 order as, and I'm quoting now, the final order of this court concerning the original decision of the commission. Round two begins when the Dover Planning Commission once again, after the remand, granted the approvals that the developers sought. The response by our adversaries then was to move for two things. One, to amend the 03 petition. In other words, to attempt to breathe life into the petition that had been dismissed by the July 04 decision. The other attempt was to move for attorney's fees. For the 03 action, the first action, both motions were denied in June of 05. Then the Friends of Old Dover did what one would have expected. They brought a new petition seeking by writ of certiorari to examine the error committed by the Dover Planning Commission. The day after that, the day after service of that petition, Mr. Zimmerman climbed on his bulldozer and did now what has become notorious, damage to those historical buildings. Dover, because of that, revoked the permits that had been granted by the Planning Commission. That mooted the substance of the case. Round two has now been ended as moot because Dover has withdrawn the permits given to the developer. That was followed by an application for fees for the 05 action. The Superior Court denied those fees, concluding that the exception to the American rule, the bad faith exception to the American rule, did not apply under those circumstances. In response to that, the Friends of Old Dover appealed two things. They appealed to this court the denial of the 03 fees, and they appealed to this court the denial of the 05 fees. In July of 06, this court dealt with both appeals. You affirmed the denial of fees in the first action, in the 03 action. You reversed the denial of fees in the 05 action, sending it back to the trial court. You reversed for the following reasons. You said, well, res judicata doesn't tell me that simply because I've denied fees in the first action that I must deny fees in the second action. There's no quarrel with that conclusion. And we disagree. We think that Mr. Zimmerman's behavior was outrageous, and it falls within the bad faith exception to the American rule. We're going to tell the Superior Court that it does have leave to grant attorney's fees in the in the case.
Did the second fee application also include the fees sought in the first application?
Yes.
Well, didn't the prior decision of this court resolve that issue when it said the second fee application rested entirely upon facts that did not arise until after the first application had been denied? And doesn't that support the inference that what was intended was that not because the second fee application included those fees in the first application, that all fees were properly before the Superior Court?
I do not believe. I see nothing in the case, Your Honor, that tells me that this court sent a signal to the Superior Court that even though we have just affirmed the denial of fees for the 03 action, you may nevertheless pull all those fees back into the application and grant it. And I see no basis for having said that, sent that signal to the Superior Court. The Superior Court nevertheless granted all of the fees, and here's why. In its opinion, it said that Mr. Zimmerman's conduct destroyed that which Food, Friends of Old Dover, sought to protect with both actions, these historic buildings. And it said, as a result, the petitioners were deprived of the benefit earned when they successfully prosecuted their June 2003 petition. Let's examine what benefit was earned in that first case. The benefit earned was a remand to the Planning Commission. There was no order by the court perpetually preserving these historic structures. So the plaintiffs asked for something and they got it. The case is over. And fees for that action were denied. And so it is not correct, and this is the point of departure that we have with the court below, it is not correct that the benefit earned, that the petitioners were deprived, and I'm quoting, of the benefit earned when they successfully prosecuted their June 2003 petition. Let me change the facts slightly, if I may, to underscore my point. Yes, ma'am.
Before you do that, let me make sure I understand this correctly. At the end of the first round, as you call it, the petitioners had prevailed. You acknowledge that.
Yes.
But the motion for attorney's fees was denied because
the American
having prevailed doesn't mean you get attorney's fees.
Exactly.
Okay. And at that point, nothing had happened that could be classified as outrageous conduct or otherwise warranting attorney's fees under the exception to the American rule.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When Mr. Zimmerman did what he did to destroy the buildings, why is it that that automatically is cut off, if you will, at round two, you know, that in terms of attorney's fees, as opposed to, the whole course of litigation has been over the preservation of these buildings, and he did something that the court found outrageous to interfere with that.
The action taken by Mr. Zimmerman was well after case one had ended. Fees had been denied.
Right.
Let me go to the change of facts, the hypothetical that I was imagining in order to answer Your Honor's question. Let's assume that the first action didn't end in 04, but it ended in 84. Same, don't change any other facts. I don't believe that there's anyone here today who would argue that the fees incurred by the same petitioners with the same lawyers 20 years earlier could be now brought back into the application for fees incurred in the second action. This is a simple case of the application of res judicata. And the only thing that confuses that application is that these two separate actions are so close in time.
But they're not just close in time, are they? What the first action accomplished was a remand, which means that the original decision of the Planning Commission was still in play. It was still not a final decision because the court had said go back and do it over again, right?
But that event, the second decision by the Planning Commission, was a brand new case, and the court said that. It said my decision was final when I remanded. That was the last action necessary by the court. The case was over. And what is it? And then this action occurred outside that time period. What is it that permits us to ignore the fact that those fees were denied by the court? You affirmed that denial, and yet simply because it's the same lawyers, the same houses, the same cause, pull back those denied fees into this application.
Let me address it from a slightly different perspective. If I got you correctly, you said that at the end of round one, there was a motion to amend, right, and for attorney's fees.
After round one had ended,
right.
and in order to begin round two,
right.
The first thing that the Friends of Old Dover attempted was amend the first petition.
Right, okay.
And the trial court said, no, you can't do that. That case is over.
Okay, fine. And because the petitioners then filed a new action,
yes, ma'am.
I assume this court, nobody ever appealed the decision that said, you know, you can't amend.
No, that was... Presumably, my adversaries here understood that that was a correct ruling, and the cost of that ruling was very little. They just had to bring a new petition as opposed to breathe life into the old one, so that's what they did.
Right, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is that this is not equivalent to an action brought in the 80s and another action brought 20 years later because this is still part of the same process, even to the extent that they thought they could just resurrect their original claim when they came back into court.
No more so a part of the same process than if these two things had been separated by 20 years. And the fact that the court said, you can't begin your assault on round two, on the second decision, by amending your petition in the first action, because that action is over. Doesn't that tell us that you have two completely independent actions, even though they involve the same subject? You have two different grants of approvals by the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Both were to the disliking of these folks.
Let me ask you a different way. Could the trial court at the end of round one have issued its decision and retained jurisdiction, remanded to the commission but retained jurisdiction?
I don't know. Perhaps yes. Let's assume yes.
Well, doesn't that kind of contradict your argument? Doesn't that suggest that but for perhaps the way it was handled, this is basically one case?
If it had happened as Your Honor suggested, I'm not sure that I would agree with Your Honor even in that instance, but that's not how it happened. Case one ended. The court said case one ended.
Well, let's assume
you all affirmed the court's denial of fees in case one. What is it about about Mr. Zimmerman's hopping on a bulldozer after case one ended? What is it that permits us to go to a finished action and pull all those fees just because we want to increase the amount?
So it's your view that if Mr. Zimmerman had knocked the buildings down 45 days after the remand from Superior Court the first time, there would have been no right in any court to award attorney's fees for the first action?
I don't know. All I can say is I'm not faced with those facts. Mr. Zimmerman, in fact, it was the proper commencement of round two that triggered those actions, so that the facts in front of us today are that this action occurred in round two and was unrelated to anything that happened in round one, which by that time was over. When this court heard the appeal of the denial of fees in both actions. This was after Mr. Zimmerman had hopped on his bulldozer. You affirmed the denial of fees in the 03 case. I just can't explain to the court what it was that permitted us to depart from ordinary notions of res judicata and breathe new life into those fees simply because it was the same lawyers, the same cause.
Mr. Manning, you identified 3 points. You spent all your time on the first one. You're now into the time you've reserved. You can continue, but you will be using the time.
Your Honor, I'm going to excuse myself at this point and reserve whatever time I have remaining. I think we covered the additional points adequately. I hope we covered the additional points adequately in our brief. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you. Mr. Brown, good morning.
Robert Brown here on behalf of the appellees for change and with Mr. Maimone. Let me see if I can just briefly address where I think the problem comes here. Mr. Manning went through the chronology of things, and I'll use his terms. There was an 03 fee application, and there was an 05 application. Now, the 03 application, read the decision, was made against the City of Dover, in effect, the City of Dover Planning Commission. It was for an award of council fees. It was based on two grounds, the common fund and the corporate benefit somehow. And the court below denied that. The second application that was made, the 05 fee application, was made not against the City of Dover, I don't believe, but against the respondents, the Young and Malmberg firm in Yosemite. And that was on a completely different theory, bay of faith. Now, when the application was made after the buildings were knocked down, to have the fees, when the second fee application was made, the 05 application, it included all the fees for both the first petition and the second.
Remind us how the fees would be divided between 03 and 05. What are the numbers?
I don't have that in my head, Your Honor. I'm sorry. Maybe I could get that, but I'm sure it's available. Maybe Mr. Mamone can get it for me.
Maybe Mr. Mamone can find that.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say is if you look at what happened, this court, when both of those fee application appeals came up, you affirmed the court below on the first one, which was on two theories, common fund and corporate benefit, brought against Planning Commission or the City of Dover. Theory being that Friends of Old Dover had, in effect, acted and made the city comply with its zoning laws, which it wasn't complying with, and it conferred a benefit upon the whole community, et cetera, would like to have the fees. The court said, no, these circumstances just don't warrant that. When that appeal came up, you affirmed on that. It was a consolidated appeal. One appeal came up as two. You reversed on the second one. That was on a completely different theory. I think... Maybe to sum it up, the affirmance was on a separate application against a different party based on different theories that were rejected by the court below on separate rationales, which you agreed with. Now, on the second fee application, that was on bad faith, bit, separate theory against additional defendants for what they did, not the city. In effect, they were responsible, the court found, for tearing down these buildings. On that one, you reversed. The court below had said, I'm denying that petition because as I read the cases, the only basis you get bad faith fee award is it's for trial strategies, for tactics, for things improper. This court in its decision said, no, it's not limited to that. It's broader than that. You can look at things outside of the pleadings. And you sent it back. And what you sent back was an application that sought all of the fees for 03 and 05 under a separate third theory. And I don't think res judicata enters into it, and I don't think this court was mistaken or that Judge Witham was mistaken. It was sent back to him. You denied this application on the basis that it wasn't appropriate because it was limited to trial tactics and strategies. That's not so. Here it is back. This is bad faith. You can award fees on a bad faith basis on this application. You decide how many. And the application.
So, as I understand your argument, you're saying when we had the case in 05, the fee application included the fees that had been denied on a different theory.
It did.
But at least the total number was before this court.
Yes.
And to the extent we remanded it, knowing the total number was before the court, we didn't distinguish between what should be excluded because it was denied in another case on another theory.
Exactly. And I think, therefore, it sent it back to the court below with the authority to look at this and decide whether you want to award all these fees for 03 or 05. And the court did. It looked at it and said, all right, yeah, we'll give them all to you because this was a pretty serious thing. This was kind of an affront to the whole judicial system. And go to Mr. Manning's other point. The court below said, what happened when buildings went down? Friends of Old Dover lost a benefit that they had achieved or earned, I think it was, in the first case. Now, appellants would say, well, we stopped when the first case was over. When he remanded it back to the commission, that was the end of the first case. That was their benefit. But that's not so. The benefit was they got a decision from the Superior Court to send it back to the commission and said, before you can award this architectural review certificate, you got to look at the zoning laws. You got to look at the guidelines for the historic district. There's 11 things there. You have to look at them. You have to do what you're supposed to do before you can issue this. That's where it stood. And it went back to the commission, and I think the record will support it. What they basically did was took the same, basically, application, the same building, made some comparisons to things outside of the historic district and said, this new building blends in with them, so it's all right, and he issued it again. So we come back, and we say, well, that's not going to work either because you didn't do what Superior Court said you had to do. You didn't follow the Superior Court's decision. You kind of ignored it. So the attempt was made to file a supplemental petition. There's a reason for that. I mean, the argument is, well, it's error to have done that because you should have filed a new petition, therefore you shouldn't get any fees for filing the wrong petition. But before it went back to the commission, when the Superior Court ruled to remand it back to the commission, the city and the respondents tried to appeal. And this court said no on your own. It's an interlocutory appeal because a remand back to the commission is not a final order. You don't have anything to appeal from. So I think it's only logical that when the commission then on the remand in effect did the same thing, I don't know that the case is over. It wasn't over from the standpoint of being able to take an appeal from it because you said it was an interlocutory appeal. They couldn't appeal it. It wasn't a final order. So Mr. Mumum drew an application to amend or supplement what we already had. And the court below, I think, when they denied that, I say this just from the standpoint of the, I guess when you get down to dividing or trying to do, to say that we shouldn't be paid for all we did. Court below said a legitimate dispute existed between the parties as to whether a new petition was necessary or whether supplementing the original petition would suffice. So that was a bona fide dispute. I think there's a reason for it. But the court below then said my order was the final order, and then he entered a final order. And I think the final order in those cases was entered after the buildings went down. So this is kind of a side thing. I just throw that in now because it's not exactly we made an error, I don't think, in moving to supplement what we'd already filed. So, but
is it your view that the Superior Court had no discretion in whether or not to consider the fees from the 03 action? In other words, that this court's order required it to award fees for the 03 action?
This court's remand did not require it to do anything, Your Honor, except I think consider the 05 application, and the 05 application had within it all the fees. So, therefore, it was within court's discretion, I think, under your remand to look at them all. And he did, and he looked at the reason why we were back. He looked at the buildings going down. He looked at the bad faith aspect, and I think thought it was serious enough under those circumstances that, by heaven, you ought to get them all because you lost the benefit you had. I think when the commission issued that second architectural review certificate, and we filed our new action, it was starting all over again. I think probably, I don't know this, I don't know Mr. Zimmerman, I understand he's a fine person, he's done a lot of good for the city of Dover. I don't have any problem with that, but I think he probably saw that he had enough of this. We've been 2 years, and we're starting all over again. friends of Old Dover were going to win again because the commission hadn't done anything the Superior Court said it was going to do. Mr. Zimmerman went out and took down the buildings. I don't think, quite frankly, that in a fit of emotion he ran out and jumped on a bulldozer and knocked him over. I think he, according to what I read, he went somewhere and rented a piece of equipment, had it moved to the site, and the next morning on a Saturday morning at 6 or 7 o'clock went out and knocked down the buildings. I think that was a very, to me at any event, I'm not saying it was, strikes me as a rather calculated thing to stop messing with all this. And I think the Superior Court took that into consideration and said, you took away those people's benefit. It's been 3 years or whatever getting this. They were ahead. They were winning. They're going to win again. And you just mooted the whole thing. On those facts and circumstances, pay all their fees, 03 and 05. And I think that was within the remand authority that this court gave back to them. And I don't think there's any race judicata because you got, again, you started off initially two theories for awarding fees. They were denied by the court below and affirmed by this court. Fine, that's proper. They're out. Third one was alive, and the application was because of the nature of the basis for the claim of bad faith. We won them all because you deprived us of everything we had, and he agreed with that. And I think he was entitled to. I think if you stop there, then all you do is you get down to, was it reasonable?
Well, as I understand the distinction you're trying to make, it seems to almost be between race judicata and perhaps collateral estoppel. If there was race judicata, it would be with a request for fees against the city in the first action. That's over.
Right.
When you get to collateral estoppel, you've got different parties.
Right.
And the question is whether there was some type of unity of interest that would permit you to say you had a full and fair opportunity to argue it before. You're bound by the ruling we made, even though you weren't a party to the case, because of collateral estoppel. But then you introduce another equation, and that is that the basis for the application is different because of the nature of the conduct that led to the dispute.
Yes. I think it's that simple, Your Honor. I think it's not that complicated. I say it. It's very simple. But with a different theory, there's a different basis on which they asked for an allowance of fees. I don't think there's any race judicata in it. Like I say, with different parties, with a different theory. And I think I just assume this court recognized that when you send it back on that basis. Didn't put any restriction on it. I mean, the implication is he must have meant that he couldn't award the fees again on the 03 application because you denied him. But you denied him on two different theories. You didn't deny him on the theory that you sent it back on. So I think that puts it within the ballpark of the court below to use its discretion. And when the court below looked at it, okay, I have the number. Just want to add one for a final thing, and I'm about finished. The court below said in its opinion, upon review of the record, it appears the petitioners completed a substantial amount of work in an effort to protect and preserve the destroyed historic structures. This effort includes two petitions, three different appeals, a writ of certiorari, and supporting briefs, numerous other motions, briefs and correspondence over a three-year period beginning in April of 2003, and yes, beginning and stop there. So the court looked at it and went through everything, and there was a lot of work went into it. So it's a lot of hours. I understand that, and maybe it's more hours than the defendants felt the need to put in. But I think that's within the discretion of the court below. That's the abuse of discretion standard. And if all those things, he says three appeals. I think Mr. Mamone and I counted them up. That this might be the sixth in his case. It was one that went up on standing initially. There was I don't know, two or three others after that. Well, two of them got consolidated, so maybe that cuts it down to only five. But this is the sixth one. And it just seems to me that this is maybe ought to be enough. The question you ask, Justice Holland, the first application, Mr. Mamone tells me that the fee breakdown would have been about $101,000. And the second application as supplemented, I'm sorry, that comes up $200,000. I'm sorry. I misread the note.
That's the 161 in attorney's fees and 11,000 in costs. That's the 172.
That was the 172,000 figure I was about to quote. But of that, first 101,000 roughly had to do with the first the 03 application.
Great. Thank you.
Another final thing I think I said this maybe the last time I was up here. Whatever the court decides, can we please just have it sent back in an order that ends the case down below so we don't have to do anything else again? And I can assure the court that should that happen, we don't have any intention to seek any fees for having to take this appeal. We'll throw that one in, too. So, but we'd just like to make sure we don't have to come back another time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honor, may it please the Court, we disagree slightly on the answer to Your Honor's question. We believe that the gross amount, and I'm talking about fees only, is $161. By our count, the amount dedicated to the 05 action was $27. The disagreement has to do with the fact that when the joint appeal was taken, their time was billed to that, and yet those were appeals of both denials of attorney's fees, so that there's some massaging.
I found that in your brief.
It's roughly 134. We think roughly $134,000 of the 161 is attributable to the first round.
Thank you.
When this court sent, after affirming the denial of the 03 fees, sent the matter back to the Superior Court, it didn't say grant all these fees. It just said that the bad faith doctrine includes Mr. Zimmerman's behavior. The court gave no direction to the court below about how much this was going to mean. And so this question that we're raising today was not foreclosed, as I hear from my learned opponents.
When you were back in the Superior Court, did you raise these issues about res judicata, collateral estoppel, final judgments? Did you tell the Superior Court, well, you can award fees, but you know,
yes,
there are certain fees that are not before you because they've been precluded by a prior ruling?
Yes, sir, we did.
And how did the Superior Court deal with that?
The Superior Court, as I said, pulled in the 03 fees by telling us that both actions were to pursue a common benefit, the preservation of these buildings, and since that was taken away, then all of the fees spent over the years are properly incorporated into one application. I say again, the only reason the court thought that was because of the close proximity in time. Had this case been as ended as it was in 04, had the first action ended under the same circumstances 20 years earlier, we wouldn't be here. There is no basis to pull those 03 fees into an application that you all permitted in the 05 action.
So you're not focusing on the difference then between the parties in the first fee application. You're saying what we really have are two separate and distinct causes of action.
When the first fee application was denied, traditional doctrines of res judicata say that that decision gets reposed, and every claim that you could have brought also goes to sleep. And so I don't know why. I don't know what the thinking was with respect to the first petition, but it doesn't matter because they certainly could have sought those fees against all of the other parties in the case. They didn't. That's a matter that's over and decided with respect to that first decision, a decision which you all affirmed. Your Honor, I stress again that the preservation of these structures is not the benefit secured by the first action. And I hear my friend, Mr. Brown, telling the court that they would have prevailed in the second action, that the Planning Commission was as wrong as it was in the first action. We disagree. We'll never know because the action became moot. But we do not concede that the prosecution of the second action inevitably would have led to some other court order telling the Planning Commission that it did the wrong thing. So all they got was a remand to the Planning Commission, which, after considering the same facts and applying the guidelines that the court said you need to apply, concluded that the approvals should be once again granted. If that happened as the beginning of the second round, not as the end of the first round. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you both. The court appreciates your arguments. we'll take this matter under advisement, and we'll also take a brief recess.